Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Homemade Podcast from a Computer. There's many of these on the internet. If you're listening to this one, there's many of Homemade. We're in front of our computers and we just want to talk to people. A lot of times they do it in video form. It's called YouTube. You're arriving in the world today. Anyways, this is Shane.
I'm Ty.
And today, we're going to talk about, I know we covered relationships in our last podcast, if it's up, of us randomly ranting on that. And so today, I want to talk about, new beginnings, because, I was just shaving recently, and, every time I shave, it's like, it's like a new beginning. And I was like, that's interesting, how do people move on from stuff, how do people cope with things, and what's really the true sign that you're really done and over with something? So, we're going to kind of, take the floor from there and, just discuss, our thoughts and ideas on just forgetting or moving on. Like, what does that even mean? There's so many meanings to it.
I think it really depends on the context of what we're moving on from. As soon as you said that, an instant bunch of things came to my mind. Like, I was watching Big Bang Theory today, and they were talking about letting go of, something that's bugging you at work, and moving on, having a new beginning at work. And then there was someone's mom who died, so there's moving on from the death of a loved one or friend or family. There's moving on from a relationship and letting things go, or getting a new beginning on that. There's moving on and getting a new beginning in where you live. Hence me and you moving to Phoenix. So what the answer of what moving on is, I think, is going to depend on what specifically we're looking at.
Let's look at the generic term moving on. What does it mean to move on? You would say from anything, a good broad consensus is doing something different or not doing that anymore. You can move on from alcoholism. You can move on from cigarette smoking. So we obviously determine that it's a very broad thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to the shaving analogy. Or, if you've ever had really long hair. Think of, when your hair was very short and then you started growing out. And it's cool to just think and wonder that those things, that hair has been with you through those months on end of memories that you went through. Some didn't, some fell out, because that's just how it happens. Anyways, beyond the point that they went through all that stuff. And I think, to me, when I think of moving on, I think it's more of kind of a physical change. I think when you do something, whether it's move to a new place, and that's the same thing. If you're in an old apartment, and you had all these great memories that happened in the apartment. If you're in college, all these great memories, having college in your dorm room, your fraternity. And moving on is actually taking the steps, I think, to physically do something to be different. Because I think emotionally, it's very hard to move on without the physical element.
I would disagree. I would say that, the physical element plays a key role. But I wouldn't necessarily say that without the physical element of moving on, you haven't moved on. I would say without the emotional or the conscious part of moving on, you haven't moved on. So for example, I walk down the stairs every day to go get my keys, or go get the mail. And, it turns out that, they're going to try something new, and now they're going to drop the mail at your door. All right, so even though I wake up every morning and still walk down the stairs to get my mail, that's still a physical effort. That's the physical changing of things. It, until you've accepted it in your mind and you're like, okay, wait, I don't have to do that anymore. Or I don't have to walk down the stairs anymore. I don't have to, wash my hair, for example, when, you cut your hair. You don't have to wash it anymore. It's not that you're physically not doing it anymore. It's just that you've now accustomed yourself. Because how many times have you been in the shower after a haircut, your hair's getting out long, and you've been in the shower, and you put way too much shampoo in your hair because you're expecting to put way more in your hair, but then you realize that you buzzed it all off, and you only need, like, a little pea-sized little shampoo. Have you ever done that?
No.
You've never done that?
No, if I've had long hair and short hair, like, interchangeably throughout my life.
Dude, whenever my hair gets, like, this long, like, 2 inches or so, or longer, I always do, like, a little bit more. That way I get the nice foam everywhere. But then when I buzzed it all short, you know, when I used to just clip it in the bathroom, like, I would put a bunch of soap in my hand, and I'd be like, oh, wait, I don't need that much shampoo, just because I don't have that hair anymore.
You know, those are small habits. Those are small habits that, like, what I'm talking about, let's throw it out examples. So, this past
Was that a WikiLeak?
It was, apparently. But this past weekend, I was having a conversation with a girl, and she was talking about her past relationship, and, you know, I found out, like, how different we were at, like, our past relationships, just because she was, like, you know, more, like, emotional to it. And it could just be, like, a male versus female difference. But, you know, I'm a very emotional male. So, her, you know, status was, like, the more she thinks about it, that memory's just brought back, like, you know, that stuff still happens. Like, she can relive that pain. But, like, for me, when I think about my past relationship, I just think of it as a good time. As in, like, that was a good memory with that person, you know, and I wish them well. And I treat it like, you know, it's just like a movie that I like to see every now and then. That's the kind of memory it is in my mind. You know, to someone else, it could be,
you know,
a movie they never, ever want to see again, ever. And that's moving on to them. But that's not really moving on. That's putting it in the closet and keeping it there and hope it never, you know, has to see the light of day. And your subliminal memory will never bring it back up. So, you know, it's...
Just because you still look back at something as a negative deal doesn't necessarily mean you haven't moved on. I mean...
Well, then why would you look at it a negative? If something's such a positive memory... So
now you're assuming it's a positive memory.
Okay, well, let's look at if it is, because those are usually the saddest ones. So let's look at the positive memory of, like, if you look back at a past relationship, think of, like, that first date. And if you look back at it, like, it's positive, but it's so sad because you missed that person, then you haven't moved on.
Okay.
But if you look back at it, it's like, oh, that was a fun time, yeah. Oh, I'm silly. Yeah, okay, that was cool. And then you can relive that memory as much as you want.
All right.
Just because it's that good, that good of a date.
What about a poor relationship? What if it was an abusive relationship?
Okay, well, then that's...
You can't look back and be like, haha, I remember that first time I met,
okay,
you know, Steve, but then he started relentlessly beating me. You know, like, you're not going to look back at that and laugh and smile and be like, God, I remember the good times I had with him. No,
well,
you're going to move on. Yes, it may still haunt you. And you may look back at it and be like, God, I don't want to ever see that movie again. But at the same time, like, you've moved on from it.
Well,
you're not letting it affect your next steps.
Well, physical and emotional trauma are definitely different topics to move on from.
Emotional trauma can be caused by physical trauma and vice versa.
Yeah, but I'm looking at just the memories. Because, yeah, we can go all about, like, emotional trauma and stuff. And it's really hard to understand that because... When it comes to, like, very deep, you know, emotional triggers, like, you know, for example, sexual assaults and stuff like that, it's a huge, long process.
I don't want to go that deep either. I just used abuse.
Yeah,
like
you just had to reel it in, though.
I used abuse to kind of give you an extreme idea. But, I mean, there's probably people who have relationships who are just like, man, this relationship just didn't work. We argued all the time. We never got along. I don't know.
Well,
I remember we started dating and it seemed good, but at the same time, as things went on, you know, they just weren't
the
greatest.
The reason why I bring up both is because I've been through both. I was at one far.
Did your girlfriend beat you, Shane?
No, not the abusive. I'm going to change the subject from that because I don't want to talk about
that stuff. Okay, we'll let that one go.
Now, just because, you know, that's a touchy subject that we both don't have experience in. So,
by any means, we don't.
So, let's talk, because before, I remember when I'd break up with a girl. What?
No, I was just remembering I did know a girl who was beat by her boyfriend.
Okay, well, yeah, let's make it even darker here.
But just go back. We're dropping that subject, remember?
So, yeah, let's drop it like it's gone. This is how we're going to move on from that subject. Look at that. That's how you move on from it. We're actually changing seats right now because we have the no, just kidding.
Talk it up.
No. I'm just joking. So, okay, so let's go back and, you know, before when I was in relationships and stuff, like, I would look at it and I would sit in my room depressed, and then, you know, I'd finally get over it because everyone gets over it. I mean, you can only, like, be caught up on a moment for so long, like, deeply caught up on an emotional strain. And, you know, we'll bring in some psychology research, too. So, loss happens. You decide to break up. Man, we were just all into relationships. It's just something I studied, I guess. So, it's just, I don't know.
We were talking about moving on. Like, last one was more like online dating. And now this one's more, and divorce. This one's more of moving on. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess we're kind of following a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, going back to my story here, so I was, you know, I'd always be like really heartbroken, but, you know, then I'd have this period where I'd be single, but every once in a while, like, I will, like, go through these things, I'll try to date women, and pretty soon it didn't work out, and we really didn't get relationships, and then I think back to the one that got away, and I was like, God, well, shucks, you know, that... It just really hurts, and you just miss them, and you just wish you could do anything to be with them and stuff, and it's like, oh, man, like, I really screwed up. I should have done. And, you know, at that point, I wasn't moved on from that. I still had feelings for those other people. Like, I could have gotten a relationship with any of those people at that given time, and it would have been absolutely wrong, because if that other person would have came back in my life, I would have probably had second thoughts about it, which is probably why, you know, cheating and stuff happens, you know, with a lot of exes and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
when I actually, you know, got out of a really bad, you know, breakup, I actually decided to go to counseling. Why? Because that's the right thing to do when you don't know what to do with your emotions and you need help. So I went to counseling because it was free. I was a student. And they really, like, showed me, you know, what it's like. And she described it as the purple room, which was really cool. It's a great analogy, and, you know, this is going to actually contradict what I said in the beginning, which Ty's going to love, so just please keep it down. So anyways, the purple room analogy is you are now in a room, and it's painted purple, and you have to deal with it. So are you going to keep complaining and keep being mad that this room is purple, or are you going to just forget about the purple room and learn to live with it? And learn to enjoy the color purple because you used to enjoy the color purple. So, you know, it's, you know, back to what I last said, which you can, you know, already see the contradictions here that, you know, you can do nothing and not move on. But I still think that you need to actually physically do something to push you to that next level to be okay with the purple.
Here's where we get confused. No. That didn't disagree with you. I'm not saying you don't have to do anything. I'm just saying it's not moving on. I mean, you don't have to physically do something to move on. You can consciously, like, in your head,
yeah.
You can move
it's
on.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder.
Oh, tons harder.
It's probably the hardest thing because you'll get tied up in your thoughts and you'll get sad.
Yeah.
It's like,
how the heck does that contradict what you said?
Well, it kind of does, because if you think of your mind as a, you know, is the room that's purple, you know, it's there, and you have to live with it. Or think of, like, an album in it. Think of a room filled with a bunch of different albums of all the people that you've met, and imagine looking at them and just, you know.
I think you've got to do something. It doesn't have to be something physical. Like, you don't have to change where you are in life, or you don't have to, like, change your habits or anything like that. Like, they help. It helps to change your habits to, like, reset your wires, but you don't have to do it. You just have to do something to change your mind, like, change your, like how they say, if you smile, like, if you wake up in the morning and you smile for, like, 5 seconds, even if you're, like, not even thinking of anything, if you just do the physical act of smiling, it rewires your brain to be, you know, more happy, in a better mood. Well, that kind of thing is, like, physically doing something to rewire in your mind, but if you can just mentally rewire it without actually having to do the physical smiling, that's what I was saying. Like, you're still doing something, but you're not...
Well, okay, well, you know, in essence, like, So if you emotionally try to cope with it, it's going to take a lot longer.
Yes.
And it's going to take a lot more sophistication.
Absolutely.
And also help from, you know, outside source, whether it's family, friends, helping you, talking you through it. It takes a lot more help than emotional support. But if you physically do it, you kind of help pump up yourself to, you know, get over it. And if you can, you know, deal with the emotion that way, because a lot of times emotion is just energy. It really is. Whether you're sad, mad, or whatever, it's energy.
And you have to use the special magical healing crystals.
And burning that energy, whether it's going for a walk, you know, getting a new job, getting your mind off things, going to a new place, exploring new things, I mean, that does help a lot. Or getting a new hobby, because you're burning that energy on something else rather than being sad. Because if you realize a lot of times when something really bad happens, you just lay down, like, you're going to just keep thinking all those sad things. Unless you get up and do something, and then you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I feel a lot better. Why do you feel better? Because you burnt all that energy off. That energy, you know, you can just sleep now rather than waste, you know, spend a few hours up just thinking about that person, burning that energy. So
instead of just brooding on it,
you
can do something to take your mind off of it. I mean, I feel like that's just an oversimplification, is to just take your mind off of things. Like, I think that the whole concept of like moving on or getting past something, however traumatic it may be, it really takes the conscious effort to do it. Like, you have to choose to do it. And even if you choose to do it, like, even if you don't choose to do it and you're, like, just kind of half-assing it, it's never going to happen. So, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm sad and I don't want to, you know, I don't ever want to go into the dating world again, so then I'm just going to sit at home on the couch, you know, or kind of like that, or, well, you know, I'm over whatever, I'm over my buddy's death, I'm just going to let it slide and, you know, not worry about it and pretend it didn't happen. But at the same time, like, in the back of your mind, if you still think, if you have to believe. You have to believe that you're getting over it.
Yeah, because you can't just do, you know, yeah, you can do all this physical burning, and you could work out and, like, say, like, hey, you get out of a breakup, what do? You just start working out, you get a new job, you do all these things, and you're extremely busy.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is you're going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're going to get burnt out by all the stuff, because now you're burning way too much energy, because you do need to emotionally process it. Going back to relationships of our last podcast, which was really good, because we did break down the psychology of certain relationships when it comes to that romantic love of, you know, when you first met. And it's funny, because even when you break up and you're out of romantic love, in the if you believe in the triangle of, you know, psychology out there, that romantic love is still in your brain, and it's in a certain portion of it. And the only way to get it out or to deal with it is to, like, emotionally, internally deal with it. And, you know, some people can do that on their own, but if you ignore it, something's going to trigger it. And once something triggers it, then that's all going to come back. And it's going to come out like 10 to 15 times harder. And then that happens just with memories. So if you just suppress them, something just randomly can just snap it right back in. And you're not going to want to be in that situation anymore.
It's almost like a level of extremes. Like, if you break something down all the way to us, like, the last little switch that's left, you have to switch that switch to, you know, positive thoughts versus negative thoughts.
I got a better analogy. Another good analogy for that. So just think of it like this. It's a tunnel. When it comes to a bad relationship and you're broken up, it's a tunnel. And you can either choose to go through the tunnel and go all the way through it, all through the darkness, into the light, or be afraid to go into that tunnel. But eventually you have to go in it. Once you get in it, you're in it for the long haul, and you have to just deal with that emotion. You got to deal with it, and you got to go through it. I think no matter what, if a sad thing happens in a relationship, you can't just shy away from the emotion, ignore it. You have to just deal with it. But you have to deal with it, you know, not extremes. You got to do it in, you know, almost like portions.
Steps.
Yeah, portions, because you don't want too much, because you're going to be a complete wreck, because one stressful thing will happen, and then, like, the walls will fall down. It's like it's an atom bomb will go off, and everything that happened will just crumble. But if you do it in portions and slowly, like, you know, give your time to time to grieve, you know, even if it's a set time, you can set your, you know, time to grieve for, like, you know, half an hour, listen to slow music or whatever.
I think the big thing,
and just deal with those emotional thoughts, and then after that, turn off, you know, turn it off, do the switch, turn it off, go to your other shit, and then, you know, do that.
I think the biggest thing is biggest point is making the active choice to do it. So making the active choice to remain positive, or to face this situation, or to walk through the fire and the flames to come out unscathed. Like, it's you have to make
the choice to actually get into the tunnel. And there's a lot of people who are afraid because they don't want to let go of those emotions. Like, in a weird way, a lot don't, because they hold those emotions so dear, and they're just like, hey, you know, I don't want to forget about these moments, these memories, these sad memories, because that's my hope right there. Like, as much as it's sad and depressing, it's hope. It's hope that you can relive those memories again.
I think another big thing is it's not that they're sad or anything. It's just that they're memories. Like, yeah, it's their memories tied to sadness, and you have to work through the sadness to keep the memory.
And this goes back to Hollywood movies. Like, you never really see movies where people, you know, really end happily single. But how did they get there? There's really no timeline of how people really get to being like, hey, actually,
you're still thinking on relationships, and I'm thinking about, like, other, just getting over other types of memories.
Well, other types of memories, like, whether it's, you know, like, but death is a really hard one, because death all depends on your religion. Yes and no.
Yes and no.
But, like, religion is a really good coping for a lot of people. Whether they, you know, someone dies and they think that this guy has, like, you know, 20 virgins up there, and he's like, wow, man, I can't wait to die. That guy's just, like, soaring in the crowds.
I think about it like this, it's like,
or, like, going to heaven. It also could be the bad way, they could go to hell, or you can be agnostic and believe that there is something out there, or you can be an atheist like me, and just really, the weird thing about it is, like, you know, there's a lot of people who give atheists shit about death, and me being an atheist, I think it's the worst for us, because we know that this life is one, and that's it, and when somebody dies, it's almost harder for us to cope with it, because we know that there is no second chance once that moment happens. So, like, you know, like me even thinking about, like, my parents dying, I mean, that just throws me for a rush, and I can't even wrap my head around that, because you know, you don't believe in an afterlife, you don't believe in a new beginning or reincarnation, you don't believe in any of that. It's just one and done. It's a crazy thought, crazy mindset.
So back to kind of my point was, like, at the end of the day, it's still, to get over something, it's hard to think back, because you have to relive it. You want to hold on to these memories. You want to hold on to them, and every time you think about them, you're reminded of the cold, hard truth. And, yeah, religion may be a coping mechanism to help you deal with that cold, hard truth, but at the same time, like, you know, they're gone, or the person is dead. So it's like, every time you think of these memories, whether they be good, bad, sad, whatever, it's still, like, tying to that big picture of getting, of, you know, that person's gone. So, and so I kind of, you know, from my own personal experience have been, like, the more I think about it, and the more I kind of bring up the topic, sadly, the more desensitized I get to the fact that it's a kind of a sad thought. Like, it's a sad memory, yeah, but it's, like, the more I've thought about it, the more I'm like, well, you know, it is what it is, kind of deal. It's done. What's done is done. And you know, the first few times I would think about it, that, you know, I'd lose my shit, and, you know, I'd get drunk, you know, with my buddies, and we'd sit around and we'd talk about it, and, you know, they were coping and moving on better than I was, because I'm kind of one of those guys that holds things all back until, you know, the floodgates hit, and then, So, like, you know, when it comes to it, I had to force myself to be like, all right, I'm going to actively think this thought. I'm going to actively think of these memories. I'm going to make the choice to be okay with it and know for a fact that I'm going to get sad about it and I'm going to feel crappy about it. But the more and more I did it, the more and more I was able to register as less of a sad memory and more of just a memory.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And there's also, you know, a weird flip to this whole entire thing is because, you know, since I've became a really single millennial in this time frame, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not the best kind of person. I'm really not. I'm not perfect at all. I have really bad habits. you know,
I don't believe that.
I have really bad habits. So sometimes when I find a girl who's like really into me, and you know she has all this hope for me, and I know I can't like ever be that person that she wants me to be. Sometimes I'm almost glad that you know she just like forgets about me, or I just quit talking to her. Yeah, it may put her through this process, but I know hopefully in the end, you know, it may work itself out. But there's the negative to that side too, because now I'm that douchebag person who just ignores that person, like never texts them again, never talks to them again, and then it just happens. But
I mean,
it's almost like a coping mechanism in the opposite way of just
quietly festering tumor in the background of everything.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, that person moved on, but God, I'm a real fuck up. So good, I'm glad they deserve way better than the person I am. So that's another coping mechanism, but that heals a lot quicker, I swear.
I had a thought and an idea tangent there, but I completely lost it.
Oh man,
I completely lost it with your little rant.
No, I had to do the devil's advocate side slightly to that.
Oh no, I remember now. I just remember like because I was thinking about one of the books I've read. And how they talk about how memories are essentially formed and how people with PTSD, like, biochemically, you know, in their brain, like, the neuroscience behind it, and how, like, in the, I believe it's the amygdala, as these synapses are firing in this order, every time one of these triggers, that's how people have, like, anxiety attacks, and they have, like, they trigger these memories, and that's how, like, fear stimuli are created, because it's, like, all these neurons are tied together, so if you hit one domino, they all fire, and this person has an anxiety attack. So, like, there could just be, and for some people, there's just a biochemical reason why they, you know, they can't let go of things. They can't move past things without, like, lots and lots of help, or even chemical help.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true, because every memory, if you look at it, and it's the same thing when you have deja vu. Everyone thinks deja vu is like, oh, something's gonna happen. No, like what deja vu is it's a you're reliving a memory that you've already had, or a similar experience. So your brain is like a glorified file cabinet. And imagine,
you ever seen the movie Dreamcatcher?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a glorified file. Okay. Let's make this a better analogy, because that's a boring analogy. Think of just a bunch of fucking file cabinets. Okay. So let's think of a grand big mansion.
A museum.
Your brain is a big museum, and you're constantly walking around this giant museum, and I'm talking giant. You know, just completely big, always building, always expanding. You're always getting lost in it. Sometimes you do know where you want to go, you know, you go here, but you're building so much every day that sometimes you forget some things exist, and every once in a while you'll stumble upon something that's going to trigger you to go to the opposite direction, because you're going to find something, and you're like, hey, you know, I'm in this museum, you're just walking around, and pretty soon you just notice, like, you know, a can. And you have to throw it away. And it's like, oh man, I gotta throw this can away. I gotta put it where all the cans go. So you take that can and you walk it over. And then pretty soon, right where all the cans go, just happens to be this memory, this instant, this exhibit that you haven't experienced before. And that's just walking through everyday life. Like, you're walking through stuff all the time that could bring back a memory that you won't even realize. It could be a funny one, it could be a sad one, it could be just random, it could make you laugh. I laugh to myself all the time, and it's hard, because people are like, what are you laughing about? I was like, don't worry about it, it's something funny just happened. But that's, and it's crazy that those come up, and that's why it's so important, no matter what you're trying to move on from, is to really prepare for those moments, because let's say if that happened at work, you want to be able to severely like cope with that to where it's not going to bring you down to a really depressive mode. That's why like moving on, I think, is so important to make it a process and make it a procedure to go through that dark tunnel. Whether it is using physical stuff or really getting help with the emotional stuff, but don't really, if you can't do it by yourself and it seems really difficult, just get help. You know, listen to other things, ask friends, vent. And you do all those things, and you do the physical things too. You give yourself time to grieve. You know, you really put an active effort to get over it. You're going to get over it, and life's going to be good. And then pretty soon, you'll walk through that museum, and you'll pick up that can. You'll go where the cans go, and you'll not sit there and be pained in this memory. You'll enjoy it.
I like to, like, I mean, the way you're describing that makes me think of, like, living in a small town. And as that small town grows and grows and grows, you start building more stuff here, and, hey, there's a new Burger King there, and, hey, we're adding this here, and kind of like Sioux Falls, I mean, if you will. And like, the more and more the town was growing and growing, the more you forgot about some of those rinky-dink shacks in the middle. One of those little places that you haven't gone to in a while, like Valentino's restaurant, for example. You know, those places that are just in the middle of everything, but God, you have so many memories there, and you have so many times you've had with that, and good times, bad times, what have you. And, like, the more, like, as you grow and expand out, you're always going to, I mean, everything is still connected to that memory. Like, the roads still go by it. As the city expands, there's still roads that are crossing with this, you know, this deal. It's just getting over, like, driving past it now, even though it's been years and years, it's like, you can look at it with fond nostalgia, and not like, hey, this was a shitty time, like, hey, this was a bad, I remember when they built this building, and at that time, I was having a rough part of my life, you know, yeah. But now you can look back and be like, I remember when they built that. That was a few years ago.
And another thing about these bad memories, and I'm going to exclude the sexual abuse memories and stuff from that. Sorry to bring this conversation down again, but I'm going to exclude these for just a second. I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, there's what if. Don't give me that. So anyways, I was watching this one Jim Jeffries television show, and there's this kid who's pissed off because his mom was homeless. And Jim Jeffries was making fun of it. And you're like, what the fuck? But then he had something really good to say about it. He's like, you know what? You have two options right now. This is a memory. This is something that hurts you. You can either laugh about it, or you can complain about it and be angry about it and scream at the world. And that's the exact truth. You're going to have so many memories in your mind. And there's so many embarrassing, some things I wish I've never done. And some things like really completely regret, and I learned to laugh about them, and I learned to make them fun memories, even when they're terribly sad. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's exceptions to that rule, but let's say it's, you know, a time where you're really embarrassed, you know, a time where, you know, someone really picked on you, someone, you know, treated you like shit, you just really got to learn to laugh when those memories come up, and you got to try to find humor in them, because you know, they're just memories. That's not today, and that's not who you are. And just be like, ha, you know, that person's a dick. They're probably just they're freaking loser now. You look on Facebook, and that person's doing nothing with their life. You know, find a way to laugh at that stuff. And, you know, I think that's, humor is always going to help you cope with any type of moving on.
I have two tangents on that. Okay. And I don't want to take up much time, because I know we're getting close.
Yeah, it's almost final words here.
But point one was I agree with you completely, because I still, like, think back at some of the things I do and, like, physically shudder, because I'm like, oh, God, why?
Oh no!
Why?
All the time, all the time. You're not
why?
The only one.
Yeah, and I, like, shake my head. I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Why? And so, and I'm trying to. I'm
trust
trying
me,
to,
last weekend was a lot like that.
So I've been trying my best to look back and be like, eh, well, you know, like, it was what it is. Like, I don't think anybody else remembers except for me. I'm the only one holding this memory torch, apparently. The only thing that worries me is, like, somebody else is going to bring it up, and I'm going to be like, ah. Like, I just forgot that! Thanks for reminding me. Tangent number two, you know, we were talking about, like, looking at those assholes on Facebook years later and stuff like that, and I wanted to ask you personally, because, like, this happened to me as I grew older. Have you ever gotten the opportunity to confront a bully who was just mean to you when you were a kid?
No, many of times.
Oh,
many
man.
Times, there's a lot of kids who picked on me in high school and stuff, and I've confronted a lot of them, and I didn't confront them like, dude, you're a dick to me. No, it was more like, hey, it's really great to see you.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, I've missed you, man. Like, remember that one time, and I'll fucking bring it up and stuff, and they, you know, sometimes it'll feel bad, make them feel like shit, but it's like, no, that was hilarious. I guess, you know, when you have I try to tend to have a bubbly personality, and when I see people from the past, I used to regret them, and I used to hate them and ignore them, but now, since the more I get older, and the more I appreciate people's company, normally they say hi to me, because I'm just always, you know, every time I go back to South, Dakota, like, my way hometown where I went to school, I'm always trying to, you know,
fuck South Dakota,
connect with more people, and, try to get, you know, more involved, and even though they were an asshole to me, it doesn't matter, because they were a fucking teenager.
Right.
Like, you know,
I'm not talking about like that. Like, yeah, you know, things like in high school, things like that, I've let go, but stuff. But I remember being, like, elementary school sized, you know, like, pre-puberty. You know, like, little guy, like, fourth, fifth grade or younger. And I had, there was a certain kid that was just a dick to me. And I don't remember why he was a dick to me, but he was a fucking dick to me. And then I remember meeting him again in high school. At the time, so I confronted him again at a party in high school, like late high school. I was like a junior, he was a senior, and so puberty had definitely hit, and like, I put this kid to shame now in size. Like, I was like almost twice his size, and like, I was drunk and he was drunk, and I freaking, and then I, like, it was one of those repressed memory things where I just looked at this kid and I was just like, I remember you used to just torture me, and like, I just swore that one day I would just knock you out, and I was just looking at him, like, in the eye, and I know he had that look on the face, like, oh shit, here it comes. But I didn't do anything to him. I never did anything to him, and I'm proud of myself for not.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those deals where it's just, like, it's weird to face things, like, it's awesome. It's awesome to face these things after the fact, and then make those good decisions, and, like, realize that, hey, like, you know, I made the right choice to not have revenge, to not,
yeah,
like, hold the grudge. Like, I held the grudge. I got closure to it.
Okay, and that's kind of going to our final words here, because we're kind of at that point. But you kind of, it's a good lead-on tangent, but that's kind of the main purpose of moving on and making sure that you're truly moved on from whatever it is that's going on in your life, because if you don't truly move on from something, something could bring it back, and you could act out in the wrong way. And you, for you not doing that is a lot of courage and strength, and that's a lot of emotion that you built up. Whether you liked it or not.
Don't get me wrong, I was on a hair trigger. Like, if he would have just pushed me the wrong way that night, like, shit would have gone
okay.
down. But still.
Okay. So you still have some coping to do, man. Because I had a bully, and I...
Well, let's talk about that. No, that was years ago.
Oh, right.
That was years
ago. Well, like,
I was like,
you know...
I was, like, 17.
Yeah, yeah, okay. See, there we go. It's the 16. Age of the factor. Because I remember I had a bully. We met in college, and it was like we were old friends. You know, and we didn't bring up any of that. We were just new people. And that's the whole thing. Regardless of what happened in... whatever happened in the past, it's in the past. And, you know, when you think about it being in the past, leave it in the past and make it what you want of it and experience what you want of it. If it's a bad memory that's, you know, always triggered and it's just stuck there and you don't know how to get over it, get help. You know, talk to your friends, your family, and really vent about it, because if something bothers you and you start to bring it to work, you start to bring it in your everyday life and it starts to bug you and you don't let it out, then you've pretty much failed and you haven't moved on. The more you grow, and, you know, only time will tell it becomes better, which is the dumbest thing, and everyone hates to hear it, but just think about it. Like, how many dumb things...
Cliches are cliches for a reason.
Yeah. How many dumb things, you know, have you got over and, you know, experienced, like, oh, man, why did I do that? But it's done. It's over with. There's nothing you can do about it. Like, if you had a bad weekend, you said something to a girl you didn't want to say, you did some things you didn't want to do, get over it, because what can you do now? You can think about it, cringe in your bed, or you can just laugh about it and be like, oh, never doing that again, or just not talking to that person again, because, you know, just don't want to be brought up, but I'll probably see them in the next 2 months, so I'll see them again, and that's just that. So, when you're moving, last Shane quote of this podcast, but if you move on, just remember that you're never going to move on if you repeat the past. So just do not repeat the past. And when you move on, just make sure you at least learn from it and you grow from it.
Yeah. All right. My final saying on this one is more so about, it's about taking that step and making the conscious decision, that conscious choice to want to move on. To want to let things go, or to want to, you know, put down the sword of anger, put down the sword of revenge, or even cope with the sadness and deal with the tragedy. Like, you want to take that first step through the tunnel. You want to take that first step. You know, you need to take that first trip back down memory lane before the healing process can begin. And yes, everything will take time, and everything will, you know, require some emotional help from time to time, and even physical help and changing and things like that. But it all begins with the first step and the first choice. And the choice is always yours. The choice has always been yours, just like the choice is always mine, and the choice is always Shane's. So, I guess if that sums it all up...
Looks like it's time to move on, Ty.
I think it is. I guess that's how you kill the bear. Or is that how you kill a bear?
You know, that's how you kill a bear.